All right, as I mentioned earlier this morning, this is Memorial Day weekend. And on Memorial Day weekend, the church has had a tradition of late of honoring our fallen war heroes. And this morning we're going to also continue on with that tradition. Memorial Day was not intended to be celebrated the way we celebrate it. It was a much more solemn occasion when it was first introduced. Memorial Day was meant to be a day where we go out to the cemetery and decorate the graves of fallen war heroes. Today, it has morphed into a day where we go to the lake, we go to our backyards for a barbecue, and we enjoy the luxuries and comforts of our lives. There are several reasons for this. One is the fact we have not had a national tragedy like the Civil War, World War I, or World War II in a long time. Those wars touched almost every family in this country. Someone lost their life in just about every family. And there was a deep and abiding sadness and a desire to remember those who had died. Now, the fact that we now don't have that pain to deal with kind of reflects well upon the men and women who died for us. Amen. They would probably be glad to know that we've not had a major conflict like they fought in. And they'd be glad to know that their sacrifice has allowed us to remain free and independent and able to meet here this morning and go to the lake tomorrow and do the things we enjoy doing. But to follow with our tradition here at Oak Hill, at least for a few minutes, I'd like us to remember those who gave their lives for our country. And I'd like to invite each of you who can to please stand at this time. We're going to have a playing of our national anthem. And please remain standing, and afterwards we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Be seated.
Turn in your hymn book now to 126. 126.
My God.
Of the Pilgrim's Tribe from every
be seated. Okay, preacher.
Well, good morning. It is good to be back. I did have a good trip, but I missed you. And we are still experiencing some technical difficulties this morning, so y'all bear with us. I think my mic's the only one that's working today, so hopefully you can hear me. Beautiful day outside. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. I encourage you to come to Sunday school class. If you're not coming, we have good classes throughout, and we enjoy it very much. I'm going to talk a little bit about Memorial Day here in my sermon coming up, so I'm not going to get on that too much now. We are fixing to leave as soon as church is over, and we can eat a bite real quick, and taking the kids to Eureka. We desire your prayers for safe travel there. Also, would like to give a special thanks to David and Veronica Wood for loaning us their work van. Our church van, Russell said it had a nervous breakdown, whatever the problem was. Did you mean that because I was going to be driving it? As it would be, sometimes seems like things do happen, but God always provides a way. So I'd like to say especially thanks to David and Brock for allowing us to use their vehicle. And to all the ones that are going, we're going to have a good time. We're going to learn some things, and we're going to have a good time in the Lord. So I appreciate you taking time to go. We've got a few announcements coming up. This morning will be our youth fund offering. So the youth fund, it pays for the food for Wednesday night. It does a lot of different things. It's paying for this trip for the youth that we're going on today, and we appreciate you giving for that. But that's some of the things that it does. So that's why we're going to pass the plate twice this morning. Next Sunday will be the building fund offering, and that takes care of expansions. It takes care of repairs, and we've got some things we're talking about and so doing to help our facilities somewhat. So keep that in mind next Sunday. Also, next Sunday night will be our business meeting. I can't encourage you enough to come to the business meeting because you really get down to the nuts and bolts of what's going on here. And we don't have anything to hide. So come and be a part of that work. Also, then Tuesday night, June the 4th, at 6 o'clock, all the church members, please come to the Lord's Supper. Sister Sue Watson will prepare that. Then starting Wednesday, May the 29th, we're going to start having ice cream on Wednesday nights instead of a meal. Now, I can tell you from past experience that there'll probably be some corn dogs made and stuff like that for the kids, so it won't be just ice cream, but that's where the focus is going to be. A lot of these kids really do need the food, and we do what we do on Wednesday night for the kids, so keep that in mind. But if you would like to furnish ice cream for Wednesday night, there's a sign-up sheet back there on the table. I encourage you to do that. And when I got in class this morning out there and walked out in the fellowship hall, there's cardboard everywhere. I thought, oh yeah, it's that time, isn't it? So evidently, we've had some folks come up and get started on the decorations for VBS, which is quickly coming upon us. That will be June 10th through the 14th. Come if you can and join in. It's a long week, but it's well worth it. And a lot of the kids that come never, ever get to come to church. And so it's the only opportunity they get to learn about Jesus. So I encourage you to come. If you can't come, please pray for the ones that are here and the ones that are coming. Okay? Nursery attendance this morning, if needed, Georgia and Mandy. Next week will be Cindy and Jerry. Any other announcements?
Number 62. There shall be shepherds of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above.
I'd rather have Jesus than houses or
Well, I neglected to welcome our visitors a while ago, and I apologize for that. We're always glad to have you, and hope you'll come back and visit with us anytime you can. If you look in your bulletin, you see the Gettysburg Address, and it was quite an address. Goes along with some of the things I'm going to say this morning as to when Memorial Day got started. Some of this research I got from a fellow by the name of Scott Harris, who actually is a pastor and preached a Memorial Day service some time back. I copied some of the stuff from him, and I want to give him credit for that, doing that research. And I appreciate those who have shared the written word with us through the years so that we can benefit from their hard work. I didn't just copy it, though. I mean, I arranged it in my own way. This is my sermon, but I did use some of his research, so I want to acknowledge him. I would like to thank here at the beginning so many of God's men and women for everything that they've done for us over the years, the giving that they've done. I love history. Many of y'all, if not all of you, know that I like history a lot, and I think that history is what defines who we are. And history is just pure facts of things that happened in the past. It seems that we have, in our culture today, a lot of folk that want to make the history of now. That really bothers me, because our history and the things that we went through as a nation and the sacrifices of those that gave their all so that we could have the freedoms we have is really what defines us as Americans. And we've had some hard times in our past, obviously, but that's not who we are now. By the grace of God, we are still the greatest nation in the world. Our national observance of Memorial Day dates back to around 1868, when General John A. Logan, Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, named May 30th as a special day to honor the graves of Union soldiers. The GAR was an organization of Union veterans that existed up until around the middle 1950s. General Logan's order was that this day was, and I quote, designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, unquote. Hence, Decoration Day. A lot of the younger Americans today don't know what Decoration Day is. I remember it from growing up. That's what many people called Memorial Day, was Decoration Day. We'll get into that more in just a minute. The selection of May 30th is attributed to a Virginian of French descent who many think selected this date because it was the Day of Ashes, and that was a day that France celebrates the returning of the ashes of Napoleon Bonaparte to France. There is a debate, seems like there always is, but there's a debate on the location and the date of the first observance of Memorial Day here in the United States. Some claim the custom of honoring war dead began in Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania. Others claim the custom was originated by some Southern women who placed flowers on the graves of both Union and Confederate soldiers after the war between the states. One writer states the first Memorial Day service took place on May 30, 1866 on Belle Island, a burial ground for Union soldiers in St. James River around Richmond, Virginia. At that place, the school teacher and the mayor planned the program of hymns and speeches and had a burial ground decorated with flowers. The federal government eventually, as they always do, got into the debate, and in 1966, proclaimed that the birthplace of Memorial Day was Waterloo, New York. Since on May 5th, 1865, the people there had honored soldiers who had died. Now, while the federal government seems to think it has the power to determine everything in our lives, I want to say this. We may never know exactly what day it was started or who founded the first Decoration Day. What we do know is that today we celebrate it in honor of our fallen warriors, those brave souls that fought to defend the freedoms of the United States of America and also to liberate those in foreign countries from tyranny and oppression. I want you to know that God remembers each and every one of those sacrifices, along with the true history of this nation and everything that we've done. And in the book of Revelations, it tells us that he keeps a record. And so God's record is not marred by political views or biases. God's record is truthful and accurate. Today, if we're not careful, we can get into so many things politically that we lose sight of the fact of what we're really doing. I think that it's very important that we understand why we celebrate Memorial Day. As Russ stated earlier, it's throughout history, people have observed it for all sorts of reasons, but now it seems like that everyone observes Memorial Day because it's just another day off. The observance of Memorial Day was started in this country in remembrance of the war between the states. If you remember your history at all, that was the bloodiest war of all wars. More Americans' lives were lost during the war between the states than all other wars combined. What a sad time in American history. Since that time, those who have sacrificed their lives in the service of our nation has been expanded somewhat. Since 9/11, many people, and I think rightly so, also include in our memorial services those brave policemen, firemen, and first responders who lost their lives there at the tower. Also, many since protecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in this nation. May we never forget them as well. Many in our own great state, law enforcement, firefighters, have given their lives so selflessly for us. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, tomorrow, as you celebrate Memorial Day, just stop for a minute and take a little bit of time and thank God for this great nation that we live in, but thank God for all of those brave men and women who over the history of this nation have given everything so that we might have what we have today. I stand here before you this morning thankful for each and every one. That I want you to know as well that it's up to us to teach our children and those coming up behind us why we celebrate Memorial Day. And we are losing much of our history, and it's our fault. And it's up to us to make sure that we remember. Our children need to learn the history of our nation because our history is what makes us who we are, Americans. Americans. God has blessed us to be a part of this great nation. And we need to teach our children why it's such a blessing. We live in a culture today that allows us to gather and worship God in spirit and in truth freely. The future of any nation depends on its citizens remembering where they came from, and it helps us to get to where we're going. Daddy used to tell me that we learn from our mistakes. I told somebody several times I've said this, but one of these days I'm going to be a really smart fella because I've made plenty of mistakes. But in our nation, we as a nation have made mistakes throughout the years, but we've learned from our mistakes and we move forward united with focus on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in that, we keep the great honor of worshiping God freely. I've had many relatives over the years and that have served and given as well as y'all have. Someone from every family, every history in our family tree has given their all. I thank your family for the sacrifice that was given. May we never forget it. Every citizen of the United States shares in the same heritage for the 500 or 650 some odd thousand American lives that were lost during the Civil War, along with the 538,000 brave men and women who gave their lives throughout other conflicts, other wars, and also those that are some nearly 1.5 million who were wounded, many of whom we know today have lost limbs and health defending our freedoms. The high price in gaining and preserving our freedom, as well as protecting our liberties. May we never forget why we have what we have. As I was preparing this morning, I just couldn't help but think as well of all of the Christians throughout history who had given everything so that we might have what we have. Many gave their lives to preserve the written word of God. We have God's word passed down from generation to generation, and it cost many dearly. Now, I know that God has preserved his word so that we can have it. But I also know that there's been times through our history that if you were caught with the Bible or the written scripture, you were killed. And many, many brave Christian men and women risk all to preserve the Bible. God will bless them for it. You know what? I think we sometimes don't remember or fail to recognize is that there are many places in the world today, in 2019, that they're still losing their lives if they're caught worshiping God, Jesus, or have a Bible. Places where people meet in private, in basements, in fear of their life, and they continue. How sad it is that we still have places like that in the world. How sad it is that we sometimes change history to suit our own purposes and don't learn from past mistakes and continue down dark paths. Now, this morning, I want to say to you, however you hear this, the obligation of preserving American history, but the obligation of preserving God's true word belongs to you. It's up to us. You realize we're only one generation away from false teaching. What do you mean, preacher? Well, if we don't stand on the truth, if we don't stand on the Bible and the teachings of Christ, we can be a part of losing the greatest thing that man has ever known. That obligation is yours and mine. Today in our nation, prayer is banned from schools. Who would have ever thought that 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Today in our nations, they've taken the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses. What's next? What's next? Just those two things could change the course of our country. If you remember history, many of our forefathers were taught to read in our public school system out of the Bible, God's holy word. And now they can't talk about it. If you think about the Ten Commandments in our judicial system, in our courthouses, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Many people that came into those courthouses, that might be the only opportunity they ever had to actually see part of God's word written. And now it's been removed. Christian brother and sister, Christianity is under attack more right now than at any other time in the history of the world. Oh, preacher, we're still allowed to meet and worship freely. But you see, many are giving their lives every day as we speak, trying to spread the gospel in foreign lands. I know some people that are in China right now that are trying to spread God's word, that if it was found out that that's exactly what they were doing, they could lose their life today. I thank them for the sacrifice scattered throughout the world that they're doing. May we never forget them. May we never forget. May we never get so lax in our duties that we don't preserve God's truth here in the United States of America. And it starts right here at Oak Hill with you and me. What a travesty it would be if we deviated from the true teachings of God's word. You know, I know that the printed word is not in danger of being extinguished, especially in America, because every home just about has one if they want one, or several. I myself have numerous Bibles. If you don't have one, please let me know. I'll make sure you get one. But you know what? God will preserve His Word. But it's up to us to preserve His truth. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to unto all them also that love His appearing. The Apostle Paul said, I've fought a good fight. When we breathe our last breath here upon this earth, can we honestly say, Samuel, have fought a good fight in preaching and teaching the truth, preserving God's word? My prayer is that I can say that. I still have a ways to go, as do you, and as does this church. But our teachings are fundamental Bible doctrinal teachings that we stand on here at Oak Hill are under attack worldwide and from every side. We have to fight to keep the faith safe for our children and our grandchildren. What are we fighting for? Ephesians 4 and 5 plainly says it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Today, we are battling a culture that teaches that there are many ways to God. Let me just say this as plainly as I can. There is only one way to get to God, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And John 14, 6, you've heard me preach much. You know, this is one of my very favorite scriptures. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Did you hear what he said? That's what we're fighting for, the truth. Let me just say this. Muhammad will not get you in the presence of God. If you're a practicing Islamic, you need Jesus. He's the only one that'll get you there. To those that worship the little fat idol dog named Buddha, he won't get you there either. For those that follow the teachings of John Smith, let me just tell you this plain up straight. John Smith and his teachings won't get you in the presence of God either. And God himself has said, through his Son Jesus Christ, that the only way to get in the presence of him is through the shed blood of Jesus. We here in the good old U.S. of A. must stand firm on God's holy word. Jesus saves, and there is no other name under heaven given whereby men might be saved. We must go against many teachings in the world and stand firm and give God all the honor and glory and thank those who have preserved our freedoms so that we might move forward. Our nation, I am very sad to say, is moving away from the direction that God would have us go. A nation that will kill 1.5 million babies. Let me just say, God will not bless us when we do these type of things. Scary. Scary. Our nation is in jeopardy. Our churches are in jeopardy. Our faith is under attack. But here's what I want you to know. My God is sufficient. God is in control of all this. But it's up to us to choose to serve a true and living God. Each and every one of us need to know what we will do if we're confronted and told we cannot teach Jesus anymore. If you're told, if something happens and you were told you can't talk about Jesus, well, what would you do? Make that decision now before you're confronted with it. I'd say, I'm going to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And I know you would too. If we don't keep the true faith alive, it will be lost in the turmoil of a changing world. And many will be facing hell because of it. Listen, if you're a born-again believer and you're under persecution for your beliefs, think about what Jesus went through for you. What little bit of time that we have here on this earth is nothing compared to what we're going to receive in eternity. Stand firm, Christian brother and sister. Teach the truth from God's word. Thank God for what He's blessed us with. I believe that we're living in the greatest time that the world has ever known. And sometimes people look at me like I'm crazy when I say that because of all the turmoil and the persecutions. But think about this for a second. Read the prophecy. We're living it right now, the end time prophecies. Jesus is coming back. And to receive those of us who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. And it might be soon. This old world can't do nothing to you, born-again believer, saved friend. But as I like to say, send you to heaven a little quicker. This body can't get in the presence of God anyway. I thank God for the account from His Word of Jesus receiving His glorified body that will never, ever have to die again, resurrected. He's the first fruits. And I look forward to the day when I can get mine and never have to worry about sickness again. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know something this morning. Jesus loves you. And He died on the cross for you. But you're in peril. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in jeopardy. Because I believe that according to the Scripture and God's Word and the condition of the world, that Jesus could be possibly coming back very soon. And if you don't accept Jesus before it's eternally too late, you might miss your opportunity. And you might be cast along with Satan and his cohorts into the bottomless pit, not the bottomless pit, that fire and brimstone, that eternal hell forever. I'm getting a new glorified body, one that can spend forever eternity with God. You can have that assurance as well. Acts chapter 2, 21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from an eternal separation from God. Romans 10:8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Excuse me. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all, and call that call upon Him. For whosoever," I love whosoever, that's you and me, "shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might be saved," not if you do this, shall, what an assurance that is, be saved. Jesus gave His life on the cross there for us so that we might have salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 very plainly says that we are saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God to us. Say, friend, thank God for your salvation. Thank God for this nation. Thank God for those that gave their life so that we might worship freely. Lost friend, thank God He has given you another opportunity to accept Jesus before it's eternally too late. What is your answer this morning? If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus, let me tell you that the Holy Spirit is here and the Holy Spirit will draw you unto that salvation, but God won't drag you down that aisle. But here's what I will tell you. All he requires for you to do is take the first step of faith, and he's done the rest. I distinctly remember my salvation experience. I was scared to death. I was afraid to step out in that aisle. I was afraid of what people might think or say. I was afraid. But when I took that first step, I don't remember the rest of the way down that aisle. I just feel like I floated down. That's what God will do for you. All you have to do is take the first step. And God's already prepared the way. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me, please, for a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful, Lord, for this great nation you've blessed us to be a part of. We give thanks, Lord, for those that saw fit to fight, to give their lives, the families that sacrificed their loved ones so that we might stand in pulpits around the nation and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead. And Lord, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this honor. I pray, Lord, a hedge of protection around our nation. Lord, I pray for our leaders. I pray for our citizens that we would turn to God and seek Him first. Your word says that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, I will hear from heaven and heal their lands. Help us, Lord, that we would focus on you and your will and your plan. And if there's any lost here this morning, Lord, I pray that the Spirit would convict and give them courage. And Lord, let them know in their heart that we love them. And we want them to accept Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Not a greater gift can be given than the gift of salvation. Lord, your will in each and every heart here today, whatever it may be. Lord, whatever you're leading folk to, just lead us to your will. And whatever that is, Lord, give us strength, understanding, and direction that we might fight the good fight, that we might stand firm and preach the truth. I thank you again, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. In your Son's precious name I pray. Amen.
191. Just as I am.
I feel like that there's someone here that needs to make a move this morning. Don't put it off, whatever it might be. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need to dedicate your life. Maybe you've been saved by the grace of God. You've never really dedicated your life and your service to God. Whatever it might be, don't put it off. You may not get another chance. We're going to sing another verse. We'll give you one more opportunity. I know that if you're not saved, you don't have to be in this church to get saved. I know that. But I also know that if the Spirit's leading you into salvation or whatever it may be, you may never get another opportunity. You're not guaranteed to get home. You're not guaranteed the next breath, the next heartbeat.
The Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. This old body can't get in the presence of God. It's got to be changed. Be on the right side of the cross as we sing another verse.
Just as I am.
Travis and Gail. I'd like to say especially thanks to David for the piano rendition. Also, if you don't know, now was David the lead trombone in the trombone?
He was in the choir.
Yes. He was in the choir? So I don't know if you've ever, some of you may have never heard Brother David. He's a very talented young man. He plays a beautiful trombone. Absolutely gorgeous. I love to hear him. Maybe he'll play for us one of these days again. David for us. And thank y'all. Appreciate you. Sorry for the technical difficulties this morning. We're going to get through it. It'll be okay. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I missed y'all last week. It was a good time. I mean, you need to just, sometimes you just need a time to just kind of blank out a little bit. It was a good time with my boys, and I appreciate that opportunity. But it's hard not to be at church. I love being here with you. Glad to be back. Anything else?